Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Roby Zomer. He is the CEO of MGC Pharmaceuticals Limited. The stock symbol on the ASX is MXC. Over the counter is MGCLF. Roby, welcome.
Hi. Good morning.
I guess where you are, it's at night right now.
Yeah.
So good evening, Roby. Can you start off by telling our audience, what MGC Pharmaceuticals does in the cannabis pharmaceutical space?
Yeah. So MGC is a European biopharma company on the strategy of a seed-to-pharmacy structure. We are looking on a cost-effective, high-quality, standardized phytocannabinoid-derived medicine. So in the sphere of the cannabis industry, we are more as a pharmaceutical company developing and manufacturing medicine based on cannabinoids. We are doing the growth, the research, the manufacturing, the R&D, the clinical study, and basically holding the whole product chain. We are listed in Australia since 2016. Our market cap is around the $50 million today. And we are looking to get some of our unique IP as a registered medicine in EMA over the course of the next 3 to 4 years, while we are holding and certified to manufacture medicines in Europe.
So why is the medical community interested in the cannabis derived therapies right now?
Over the last 15 years in Israel and globally, we see a lot of experience and interaction between the cannabis plant and different indication, but something that is missing in this industry, besides the recreational and the lifestyle, it's a direct link between a certain formula or a certain product, unified, standardized product that can treat illness. And what we see that there is almost endless matrix of option, but someone needs to pick up the glove and to connect between the dots. And this is where we saw the opportunity. While in America and North America, the recreational is more in a control, we saw that the opportunity in Europe, where it's more regulated as a pharmaceutical industry, it will be more interesting and more unique to find the real connection between the indications and the illnesses and the treatment to the plant and to the compound in the plant.
And
we see a large opportunity inside it.
Okay. And your company basically, so you're a seed to farm. So in other words, you produce the plant and you manufacture. So your goal is to have sort of a fully vertically integrated program.
Yes. Yeah. So we are doing basically from the cultivation. We have operational and cultivation facility in Europe. And recently, we granted even large facility in Malta, which is also part of Europe. Aside of our cultivation, we have also a botanical research. We are developing and standardizing our own genetics to support our manufacturing to be as cost-effective as possible. So we start with improving the potency of the genetics in order to get maximum yield per square meter. But then it's being transformed and extracted and separated into different molecules, which then becomes the active pharmaceutical ingredient, the API of our compound and medicine.
So, Roby, can you talk about your current pipeline, some of the markets that you're addressing?
So in our pipeline, we have three groups of indications that we're looking to treat. We have the neurological disorder. We have the oncological and oncological side effect, like chemotherapy. And we have the anti-inflammatory and the autoimmune diseases. These are three arms of product development that we are holding. We're looking on the medical side or the pharmaceutical side of the cannabis. It's the interlink between the medical cannabis and the traditional or the modern medicine, which is the two market, I can say that the valuation of the cannabis industry today is valued to reach $150 billion in the next 8 to 10 years, while the pharma industry is looking to reach to 1.5 trillion over the 8 to 10 years. And we are looking on the interlink between these two industries that we are estimating to be the $60 billion dollar over the 8 to 10 years, and this is where the market that we are targeting. Our first product that we look to bring into the market is Canapil. It's a product that has been developed to treat drug-resistant epilepsy, refractory epilepsy, and to reduce the seizures in cases of severe cases of epilepsy. We have a second product that called Cognican. It's a product that's designed to improve the quality of life and quality of living of dementia and Alzheimer patients, including palliative care and improve frailty, loss of bone mass in palliative cases. We have additional product, and recently, last week, we announced on one of our preclinical studies that is being conducted in Europe in glioblastoma, a brain cancer, a very strong, harmful brain cancer, that we start to see a good results in the preclinical studies on expanding the patient life, basically. So these are the three groups and the two leading products that we have in the company at this moment.
So how far along are you towards the commercialization phase with these three products? So, you know, starting, you know, let's start with the epilepsy product.
So Canapil is now being submitted to clinical studies under EMA program. EMA, it's a European Medicine Authority, the equivalent to the FDA. We anticipating that in the next 3.5 to 4 years, we will have the registration of the product. While we are in the clinical studies, we already got approved to prescribe the product under early patient access scheme or special prescribers already in Australia and in the UK. So this product already being administered and prescribed into patient over these two regions. So patient already receiving since January 2019 Canapil. And we will work in parallel. We'll increase the number of patients that are receiving it under the authorized prescriber while we are expediting our clinical program.
And so you're already generating revenues from this then?
Yes, we already started to generate revenues. We just update that our existing purchase order over the existing quarter were crossing the 200,000 Australian dollar, which is about 120, 150 American dollar.
Okay.
So this is from the starting of prescribing of Canapil, as well as Cognican, which is now in the finishing of the recruitment phase of the phase 2B that was approved in Australia. And it will move also into, we are estimating around 4 years to get it registration. But again, because of we are dealing here with the unique cases and indications that was never treated before. There is no medicine for dementia and Alzheimer. And because of the patient status and the fact that we show improvement in the quality of life in this case, we also got the approval to get an early prescribed scheme, early prescriber.
So in
Australia
this,
and also the UK.
So in these kind of these special schemes. How big is the opportunity right now in terms of, what kind of revenues can you generate now before you get the final approval?
I can answer you like this. Treatment of kind of pill for epilepsy, for example, for a patient will cost him about $9,000 to $10,000 per annum, which are the revenues that we will generate. And in drug-resistant epilepsy, you have about 6 million patients of epilepsy in Europe, that 30% of them are drug-resistant epilepsy. Even if we will be able to access 0.5% or 1% of this market, is already a significant revenue-generating mechanism. But again, our goal with the early patient access is not as a revenue-driven strategy, but as a marketing and basically awareness and getting more data to our clinical studies and basically position the company in the front line of a pharmaceutical-based, cannabinoids-based pharmaceutical product.
Okay, so with this early access program, tell me if I'm understanding this correctly. The epilepsy, the drug-resistant epilepsy market is roughly 1.8 million patients in Europe?
Yeah.
30%, so I guess, 1.8. And so you could sell to them through this early access program?
At the moment, not yet. We only got in Australia and in the UK, so if I will give you the number of Australia and the UK. In the UK, there is 500,000 patients with epilepsy. In Australia, there is another 250,000. So we are talking about 750,000 patients with epilepsy, that 30% of them are drug-resistant epilepsy. And this is our existing market target.
So your current market, in other words, the market that you're addressing right now that you could sell to is
around 200,000 patients.
200,000 patients and times what is it? $9,000 to $10,000. I guess it's Australian or U.S.
U.S.
U.S. Okay, so that's what is it? Is that 20? I don't have my calculator in front of me, so maybe you can. I'm sure you've done the math, right? So 200,000 times.
So the total estimated value is in the early prescriber. It's more than the total market. It's more than $2 billion. But of course, we are not believe that we will be able to provide all of them, and not all of them are at the moment are with the capabilities to purchase. But even if we are achieving only 0.5% of this market per annum, it's already a huge number. But again, we're looking at this number as going to be the peak numbers once we will be registered medicine. I don't see the early prescriber, even that it gives us the access to the patient, that it will have the same numbers of patients as you have when you have a marketing authorization. We need to remember that at the moment we are not allowed to do any marketing to our product, Canepil or Cognican in Australia and in the UK, due to the fact that they are still unregistered, unlicensed medicine, and they are under what we call IMP, investigational medicinal product, and therefore it's only when a patient arrives to a doctor and creates a request and the doctor creates a request. So we're not doing any active marketing or supporting the sales.
Okay. So, and what, but I guess the bottom line though is you're generating revenues now from this, and you can, this, the number,
yes,
the sales numbers could be significant, although you have, you're kind of impaired by the lack of, marketing ability.
Yes.
So the path towards commercialization is, you said, about roughly 3 to 4 years, you believe? Okay. Now there's a, there's a number of companies, operating in this space, the number of, medical cannabis pharmaceutical companies. What would you say differentiates, your therapies, your products from, others developing, cannabis-based drugs?
So the first building block in this area is the clinical experience and the clinical exposure. So our executive teams is built from a team that was operating in Israel, and Israel, if you're familiar, was one of the first and the largest country who treated patients with cannabis for medical purposes, not as a recreational. And therefore, the introduction between a patient and a medical cannabis or cannabis for medical purposes, and the treatment of patients with cannabis, and therefore collecting a lot of observational data and a lot of experience between a patient, doctor, and a manufacturer, was creating a lot of data that has been stored on in our executive team and in our scientific advisory team. For example, Dr. Jonathan Grunfeld, which is leading our scientific division, is one of the leading doctors who prescribe I think one of the highest amount of prescription to patient, and had the one of the leading exposure between a patient and use of medical cannabis. Professor Wood Kramer, who is the head of our neurological division, was conducting I think the first trial with children and epilepsy and cannabis in Israel, over more than 3 years and more than 160 kids. Then we have other executives that came from the Israeli market and again brought with them a lot of knowledge, together with collaboration with academies like the Hebrew University, RMIT in Australia, National Institute of Biology in Slovenia. And equivalent, which basically gather into one company, into one place, a lot of clinical knowledge that usually take years and a lot of money to get this knowledge, that we had it just by the fact of the experience of conducting and operating in Israel. So first of all, we're capitalizing all of this experience into the core company knowledge and IP. And then the second part is the improvement of our genetics and the fact that we, from the day one that we start to operate in Europe, we thought about holding the whole product chain and adding value through the different segments. So the first research that we conducted in Europe was the botanical research to improve our genetics. And a couple of months ago, we announced on four of our new variants, that one of them crossing the 35% THC, just in equivalent to the market average strain, contain 20% of THC, which is one of our active ingredients. And by reaching and crossing the 35% of THC, we basically increase the product yield and basically increasing the cost effective of isolating the compound and the molecule from the plant into our medicine. Then we are one of the leading companies that obtain and granted a European GMP facility to produce and compound medicine based on cannabinoids. So we have still some of the advantage to be in the head of the curve, rather companies that start in North America and only in recent days start to obtain such a permit in Europe. So we have a little bit of more experience and again more time ahead of them. And our recently progress in Malta, together with a letter of intent that we received from Malta Enterprise, that's working very hard to build standardized medical space based on cannabinoids, that's trying to lead the Europe regulation with it, and they're doing a really good work, grant us a letter of intent with the potential of establishing a 6,000 square meter facility, three-floor building, which give us, if I convert it into square feet, about 67 square feet of cultivation in an amazing climate area, yearly average of 25 degrees. Most of the year sunny with a little bit amount of rain. And also 6,000 square meter facility to do a full manufacturing from the extraction, isolation, and compounding on different medicinal products, like capsules, sprays, and different pharmaceutical products, like any standardized pharmaceutical company. And if we collect all of these dot points from the clinical knowledge, together with the research and our collaboration with academies worldwide, and with our operation in Europe, and to be the first on the market and the first to grant certain license, like EU GMP facilities, give us still the advantage that even as a small company, we are still heading in the front line of this industry. And I do believe that once we will have some additional update into the market, together with generating early revenues from our authorized prescriber product, we will be able to maintain our leading of the pack in Europe, and by the exposures that I hope to receive in North America and the UK, we will be able also to diversify our investment portfolio and basically introduce more institutional and large players that will give us also the backwind of financial capabilities.
Okay, Roby, what you know, what are the key milestones over the next 12 months that investors can look forward to?
First of all, the commencing of our Malta manufacturing facility, which is now on the waiting for several approvals, and commencing this facility will indicate, I think, as one of the largest facilities in Europe. Commencing and getting more information from our clinical program.
When does the Malta facility open?
It will take about 18 to 24 months once we get the approval to start construction.
Okay.
So we are waiting now. We submitted all our design, architectural design. We did also a certain land survey, and et cetera. And now we're waiting for the approval to sign and to start the construction. So we're waiting for all of these approvals. Once we'll get them, then we will commencing the construction. So this is one of the key milestones. The second key milestone will be the update from our clinical study in Cognicon in Australia, as we are closing to recruitment of all the patients that we need for the trial.
This is the dementia product.
Yes, okay. Dementia and Alzheimer in Australia, phase two. So this going to be a second key milestone. The third key milestone will be the update of Canapeel in European Union, basically commencing the phase 2B together with EMA submissions to get the recognition by EMA for this protocol and to this product. I think these are the main three key milestones that will demonstrate the revenue generating and the future of marketing authorization. Just as a compare, if we look on GW, that until recently they had only one product, which was Sativax, that was not FDA approved and not EMA approved, but was approved by country base. And recently they have a Pidolac that is FDA approved. this company today is a $5 billion US dollar market cap. If we will be able even to be part of this company value, it gives you the understanding where we are heading. So just these three milestones are the ones that will get us close to this valuation. Then I can think that we will have additional 3 to 4 smaller milestones on the clinical program in the update on our brain cancer development. One of our program in the preclinical studies, the same as for the melanoma and prostate cancer that happening in Australia, together with RMIT and the Hebrew University from Israel. It's a large collaboration. I think this will be the key points over the next 12 months that we're going to see in the company.
Okay. And what about, can you make any kind of projections in terms of what kind of revenues you expect to see coming in from the sales through the early access programs?
Unfortunately, from two reasons, I cannot disclose this. First of all, indication of revenues and increase in sales basically contradicts one of the rules of promoting the products and promoting the sale of it. So I can just give you the estimation what would be the value of this tapping these markets. I can say that we announced recently again for the first quarter that our orders for the product were crossing the 200,000 Australian dollar. And we assume that it's just a starting point. We will hope to cross the 100 or 200 patients per month in this sector.
Okay. That's a good indication. Roby, what I guess my last question is going to be, in your opinion, what are the key, top three reasons that investors should consider buying the stock today?
We are really undervalued with a strong commercial, clinical, and operational program that in the near future will give its profitability to the stock. So at the moment, we are undervalued, and it's a good opportunity to buy.
Well, on that note, Roby, I want to thank you. And we look forward to hearing more from MGC Pharma in the months ahead.
Thank you very much, and appreciate for your time.